Well, we're glad to be back.
Amen.
Amen. Glad to be back in Bible study.
Amen.
As we continue to talk about ministry that brings the blessing, how serving other people leads to us being blessed. It's interesting, too, because in our Men of Integrity devotional, this whole week is about being generous and having a life of giving to other people. Mm-hmm. And it says that that's what we should do. And the thing is that God wants us to be givers because He's a giver. Mm-hmm. And if we claim Him to be our Father, then we should take after Him.
Yes, amen.
And we should be givers. That means that we look outward before we look inward. We look to see what we can do for others before we start thinking about what we can do for ourselves. That's how God wants us to be.
Yes.
And when we understand that and get that and start operating with that, we will be blessed beyond measure, because now God will start to take care of those things that we can't tend to because we're tending to other people. And God can do what's needed for us better than we can do what's needed for us. And that's why I don't think people get it. They say, well, I can't do this for somebody else because I got to take care of my business. Okay, go ahead and take care of your business yourself. Meanwhile, I'm going to go help somebody else. And then God's going to help me with my business. And He's going to do a better job than if I just did it by myself.
Amen.
So I'm going to end up being better off than you, not you, but the person who just said, I can't help. I just got to tend to my business. But I helped, and I went back to my business, and I went back to my business with the help of God.
Amen.
And folks don't understand that. They actually think they're better off by foregoing helping other people and just taking care of themselves. Mm-mm. So we bring the power of God into our lives when we help other people.
Yes.
Folks want to be anointed and have so much power, but they don't want to help nobody. I tell you this, I don't think there's a selfish person. If you're selfish, you're not walking around in the power of God.
That's right.
You walk around in the power of you.
Yeah.
No way. Because God is looking for people who have a heart to help other people. Amen?
Amen.
And so we've been talking about ministry brings a blessing. Serving other people, doing things for other people actually leads to, and that's what the devil has turned this around. He has convinced people that you gotta look after yourself. No one else is going to look after you, so you better look after yourself. But God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And so if we seek to do things not the way the world says, but the way the way the Bible says, the way God says, then we see that we will have more in our lives than we ever had before. All right, let's pray tonight, and then we're going to look at Matthew chapter 14, and we're also going to go into John chapter 6 as well. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise, and we do thank you on tonight. We thank you, God, for your blessings that have been with us all the day and all the week. We thank you, God, that we are here. We thank you, Lord, that we still have a hunger and thirst for your word and to learn and to grow. And Father, we're asking you to teach us tonight, God, in the time that we have. Do a great work right here, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And Father, fill our hearts with wisdom. Give us revelation that our eyes may see more clearly. And God, we just want to grow up and grow closer to you. So Father, have your way tonight. Hear our prayer. And Father, bless us, O God, with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. As Father, as your word comes alive unto us, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so we've been looking at the feeding of the 5,000. And again, this is a miracle in all four Gospels. So we will take a look at it in Matthew chapter 14 and also in John chapter 6 tonight. John has a little bit more of a byplay between the disciples and Jesus that we want to focus on. And also it's in Mark chapter 6 and Luke chapter 9. Let's look at Matthew chapter 14 first. Again, picking up at verse 13. When Jesus heard of it, this is the death of John the Baptist, when he heard of that, he departed thence by a ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. We talked about that a little bit last week, right? That the art of compassion,
yeah.
That if you're compassionate, you always move. Compassion compels you and thrusts you into action.
Yeah.
You can't be compassionate and sit on the sidelines. So Jesus was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." In other words, you feed them. And we talked about the disciples' hard hearts last week, that they didn't have that heart, that compassionate heart, because they said, "It's late. These people are hungry. They need to eat. Jesus, get rid of them." Not Jesus help them. Jesus, send them away. We need to go home. Gotta watch the game. So that's what they said. And Jesus said to them, they don't need to leave. Right? They don't need to go. You're right. They are hungry. You're right. It is late. You're right. There is no food here. So you know what? You feed them. You know what Jesus said? He's saying, don't be good at identifying problems. Be a part of the solution. Don't just stand up here telling me all the things. This is wrong. That's wrong. You know, there are a lot of people like that. There are a lot of people. They are good at pointing out the problem. And when I hear that, and I hear people say, "Well, we need this, and we need that, and this, and this, and this is not working." And then after they say that, I go, okay. Because now what? You have a proposed solution, or are you just inventorying problems? There's some people who just inventory problems. They walk around with their clipboard. They're just taking inventory of problems. I don't need somebody inventorying the problems. Do you have a proposed solution? So Jesus said, don't just tell me what the problem is here. Don't tell me they need to go home. Don't tell me it's late. Don't tell me they don't have any food. Don't tell me they're hungry and just put a period there. That's karma. Now tell me what you're going to do.
Wow.
And you got to understand, God wants us to have that kind of mentality. Why? Because our God is a problem solver. And he wants us to be problem solving in our mindset. That we understand this is not the end of this. Especially if we know we have God on our side.
Right.
How can we just end at the problem? This is broken. Okay? How can we fix it? What do you mean? What do you mean what I mean? You just said it's broken. So it needs to be fixed. But Jesus told them, you give them something to eat. And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Okay, now let's stop there and turn to John chapter 6. So we can see a little bit more of the conversation between Jesus and two of his disciples. John chapter 6. So we see in verse number 1, it talks about Jesus going over the Sea of Galilee. Great multitude followed him. They saw his miracles. Jesus went to a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. In verse 5, it says, when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip. So now we get specific, right? Not just he said to his disciples, but now he said to Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" The Amplified Version says, "Where are we to buy bread so that all these people may eat?" Let's just stop there for a second and realize how Jesus was really. There's thousands and thousands of people on this mountain. And Jesus is not in the very, in the least, daunted by how many people are there. But he said, how are we going to feed all of them?
Right.
All of them. Yeah, there's 15,000 people on this mountain. How are we going to feed all of them? I love that about Jesus. See? And that's the thing about the heart of God. God looks at all people.
Yeah.
White, black, red, green, yellow, rich, poor, male, female, educated, uneducated. God is concerned about all. God so loved the world that he gave an only begotten son. He didn't just love Christians. Right? Now, once we accept him, now we come into a different relationship with him. But God loves the world. Doesn't mean the world. Doesn't mean everybody is his child, right? We got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the love of God extends to all mankind. He wants all to repent. He wants all to be saved. But here you see Jesus, what he wants to do. He wants everyone to eat. So that's why now you ever find yourself in a situation and you sometimes you hear people say that they think that God has forgotten about them or God doesn't care about their situation. The devil is a liar. God cares about all people and he cares about all that you're going through. God's a total God. He knows some God. God's not he can some. No, God is.
Amen.
And he cares about all, right? Jesus said that you know, the very hairs on your head are numbered. I mean, that God gets down to the detail. He's concerned about the smallest thing in your life. All things in your life. There's nothing too small that you can go to God with and say, Lord, I need help with this.
Yeah.
You can go to God and help with a math problem. Just simple arithmetic, but somehow you just can't see. Lord, I need your help. He's not going to say, come on, man, you graduated high school all those years ago. Do it yourself. That's not how God is. God wants to help us with all. That's why he said, in all your ways, acknowledge me, and I'll direct your paths. Tell me everything. So here Jesus says, it says here that Jesus said, where are we to buy bread so that all these people may eat? Not some. Jesus don't want anybody going hungry. Oh, someone needs to hear that right there, right? Jesus doesn't want anybody going hungry. Look at verse 6. After he asks this question, we get an insight into how Jesus is thinking. Verse 6, it says, and this he said, when he asked, right, where are we going to buy food that all of these may eat? It said, he said this to prove him. And that word prove means to test, right? To prove or to test Philip. Jesus was just testing him. For he himself knew what he would do. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. But he was testing Philip. He said, send them all home. Jesus is late. He said, they don't have to leave. You feed them. Right? And then, he said, where are we going to buy bread so that all these may eat? And Jesus just sitting there, he's asking the question, but he's like testing them. See what he's going to say. Jesus already knew what he's going to do, but he wants to know what Philip's going to do. How many times God does that to us? Think back over some of the things where God put you in some certain situations, and at some point you realize you were being tested. This is a test. God tests his people. Amen.
Amen.
Why? Because our faith only comes through testing.
Yes.
If you're not tested, if you're not tried, if you're not put in a situation where you have to believe, then your faith isn't tested. And there's something about testing. I know when you're in school, especially when you're a young kid coming up, the idea of tests, it's like, oh, God, we have a test. Nobody liked taking tests. You know, oh, man, we have a test. I remember when I was a kid, no one liked to take a test. But you get older, you understand testing is helpful. It's helpful to our growth. It's helpful to developing confidence. It's helpful in in creating and developing good habits within us. You know, because you got to study for the test. You got to apply yourself for that test. And then if you pass the test, you feel good, a sense of accomplishment. And then also a sense of growth because you say, I know that work. And then you keep going on further, right? Isn't there something about tests? Like you do good, you do well on the test, and that gives you confidence, do well on the next one, and the next one, and the next one. Tests help us grow. And so God tests our faith because it's a way of helping our faith to grow.
Yeah.
If you don't like tests, as a Christian, I don't know how your faith is going to grow. You got to be tested. You got to be stretched. And Jesus was testing and stretching Philip right here to get beyond this limitation mindset. Oh, we got to send them home. No, we don't have to send them home. Where are we going to get food, Phil? Where are we going to get some food? And Jesus goes, look now, see what you're going to do. Let me see what this boy is going to say. What is he going to say? Right? He's just testing him. And so now, Philip, let's see if Philip rises to the occasion. In verse number 7, Philip says, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them may take a little. He said, 200 pennies worth. Amplified said, that's about $40 worth of bread. It's not enough that everyone may receive even a little. There's some versions that say that that's not enough that everyone can have even a bite. Now, we have to put this and understand this. Like, we look at it, so 200 pennies, and we go, okay, that's nothing. $40, that's nothing. $40 worth of bread. Back in this time, though, 200 pennies. A penny was the equivalent of a day's wages.
Yeah.
Yeah, a day's wages. So 200 pennies, when you consider there's 365 days in a year, there's some versions that say that he said 8 months worth. So now you think about it now from that perspective. 8 months worth of bread. You know, the equivalent. You know, you go out and you buy 8 months wages worth of bread. Can't buy enough to feed all these people that they can even have a little snack. And the thing that strikes me about this is how Philip is so emphatic. And you know, we do this too, you know. You know, we do this by saying things like, no way in the world! This could never happen. Why do we say things like that? If I lived 1,000 years, I couldn't. Why do we use that kind of, you know, we over-exaggerate so that we can let that person know, we need to move on to something else. No way in the world this could ever happen. We use phrases sometimes when we really don't want to do something. We will, you know, we'll get very expressive and exaggerate in our language to say we can't get it done. That's what he was doing. If we had 8 months worth of wages here in the box. He know nobody has no 8 months worth of wages on them. He knows that. So what's he saying? Right? Forget it, Jesus. We can't do it. And then Andrew comes in. Simon Peter's brother. He chimes in verse 9. He said, there's a little boy here. And he has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Probably would have been good if he had stopped right there and said, here they are, Jesus. Do something with it. Right?
Yeah.
You turn water into wine, do something with this.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You perform miracles. You walked on the water. You've done all the, yeah. You raise up the sick. You raise the dead even. Here. He got 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. Here, 2 little lad got 2. That would probably have been pretty good.
Yeah.
But no, he didn't stop there. He said, there's 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And then here comes the word that kills faith. But. That's the word right there that kills all hope. The word but is a hope killer. It really is. You think about it. I had an interview today for a job, but I went down to talk to the man about a loan today. I was on my way, but. Whenever you start saying this, something, you know, you make an affirmative statement and then you say, but, you just canceled out the affirmative statement. Think about it. I was going to come by your house today, but. What? What? It cancels it out. It cancels out whatever hope, whatever intention, it just cancels it out. So he says here, right, he speaks in words of hope first. Hey, there's a boy here. He has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, Jesus. But what are they among so many people? So that's why he's saying, but what difference does it make? What difference does it make? Oh my goodness. What difference does it make? And that's the thing. See, if our minds and our hearts are just open to the fact that God can do anything with a lot or with few, then we never get discouraged or by what seems to be a lack of resources, a lack of talent, or a lack of ability. Because here's the thing. I don't care how good we are, how proficient we are, how experienced we are, there's more that we don't know than we know. And it will always be that way on this side of glory. So think about how many things you can point to in yourself as a deficiency and then as a justification and rationale for why you can't do something. There's more things you can't do than you can do. And then some of the things you do, you can do it pretty well, and sometimes you can't. Sometimes you're good at it, sometimes you can't. I mean, I can do some things better than others, right? You know, somebody said, can you sing? Well, yeah, I can sing a little bit. I'm not all that good. You know what I mean? Oh, but now somebody said something else. Oh, can you do this? Can you write? Oh, yeah, well, I'm strong in writing. Can you play the drums? Not a bit. Can you dance? Well, a little bit. You know what I mean? The range of what we can do is all over the place. And so, if we're going to focus on the things that we don't have, oh, we're going to have a lot of things to point to. That's exactly what the devil wants to do. You have to think about the times when you didn't want to do something or you couldn't do something that somebody asked you to do. What usually was it? It was a focus on what you were unable to do. You think about, oh, I can't speak before groups of people. Forget that you know the subject matter.
Right.
It might be something that's right up your alley. But what becomes the focus? Not that you know this stuff well. Not that the group that you're speaking to could benefit from you sharing your knowledge with them. That's not the focus. The focus is, I can't speak before groups. We zero in on those things because this human mind of ours, I was hearing, I think it was Joel Osteen preaching the other day. He said, and we talked about this before as well, how our minds are drawn to the negative. And he said something interesting. He said that studies have shown that negative thoughts take up more room in our mind than positive thoughts, which is why we're more inclined to remember the negative than the positive. Because it's occupying more of our mind.
Yeah.
Isn't that fascinating? That's why, you know, as he gave the example, we remember losing $50 more than we remember finding $50. That day you lost that $50, oh, you've been telling that story at the family reunion for the last 23 years. I remember that. In 1975, I had that $50 and I know it was right there in my pocket. And you tell that story, but over the years you found much more than that.
Yeah.
But you don't remember. Why? Because our minds go to the negative. And so when we think about ourselves and we know our shortcomings, even if we don't tell it to other people, you know what you're comfortable doing, what you're not comfortable doing. You know what you think you're pretty good at and what you're not. And so now you get into a situation where now you may be called upon to step forward, and you may shrink back because you start going, well, right? And you start focusing on the negative. They were focusing on what they did not have. Right? They were focusing on what they did not have. They were focusing on the fact that they did not have money and that they did not have enough food. What's the kind of thing we focus on when Jesus asks us to do something? One of the biggest ones, not enough time. Don't we talk about that? I don't have time. Right? And that's not even about a failing personally, but we focus, we always go to lack. Our minds, it's an amazing thing how these minds that need to be renewed.
Yeah.
This is why we have to renew our minds, because see, the old way of thinking focuses on lack.
Wow.
I don't have no time. That's why, you know, think about the things that come out of people's mouths so easy. Can't afford that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lack mentality. I can't afford that. Don't have enough time. What else do we talk about sometimes that that justifies why we can't go forward? Don't have not enough time.
Can't do it.
Can't do that.
Not able to do it.
I'm not able to do that. Then some of us get really religious. You know?
God didn't tell me.
God didn't tell me. That's not my calling.
Yeah, that's not my calling.
I gotta stay in my lane. We got all kinds of things. But really what it comes down to is this feeling of insufficiency.
Yeah.
There's some insufficiency of some kind. There's not enough time, there's not enough money, there's not enough resources, not enough education, you're not tall enough, you know what I mean? You're not this enough, you don't have this, you don't have that. It's about insufficiency. And the enemy wants us to think that way. Because then if we think we don't have enough, then how can I help you? And see, that insufficiency mentality keeps us on the sideline from helping other people. When you don't have enough time, guess what? When someone rings your phone, you don't answer it. Mm-hmm. If you're convinced you don't have enough time. If you're convinced you don't have enough money, then when someone asks you for $5, you're not going to give it to them. Oh, my. But if you believe that God can multiply what you have, that's different now. Right? Because now, you might only have 10, and you need 10 to get to the end of the week. $10. But somebody asks you for 5, you give them 5, and you go, God will make a way.
Yep.
Somehow God will, how are you going to make it? And you go, I don't know. But he needed it. You may not have enough time or ready to do all the things on your plate. But someone calls you, you stop what you're doing and go help them. And somehow you just know, it's going to get done. See, that's because you have faith in God. Right? Because you know you have a God who can make the sun stand still if he wants to give you some extra daylight hours to get your stuff done. That's the kind of God we have. But we need to make a decision. When we're faced with a problem and we are put in a position where Jesus is testing us, like he was testing his disciples, to see if you're going to do anything, what's going to be the focus? On our own insufficiencies or the surpassing power of God? And that's the problem. What did they look at? Jesus is talking to them in the flesh, face to face, and they didn't even look at him. In the sense of they didn't look to him. They looked to themselves. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough food. What are you talking about, Jesus? But if they looked at Jesus and go, wait a minute. Here, take this. Do something with it. What do you want us to do with it? But they did not do that.
Right.
So we have to make that decision, right? You know, first of all, we got to understand that Jesus wants us to do something about it. Right? Then we got to realize that Jesus is going to test us to see if we are willing to roll up our sleeves and get to it to help somebody else. God's looking for people like that. Because here's the thing. How is God going to help people in the earth? Thank you. God's not coming down and walking around and helping, and going to be helping. He's looking. He's looking for hands and feet
and mouths
and miles and backs, strong backs. Because how is this going to get done? We all talk about, well, God will make a way. Through who? Because God needs vessels who are willing and open to be used by Him so that His power can be revealed in the earth. How else is it going to be revealed in the earth? Oh, God's going to do it. Yeah. But He needs a willing vessel. And we need to be willing. And if we're willing, God will use us, and He'll use us in miraculous ways. So we got to realize that we're going to be tested, right? But we have to get to that point where we trust God to do miracles. Amen. And really, we talk about miracles. Miracles, don't you know, you and I are miracles.
Amen.
There's so many things that happen in our lives that are miracles. I know that, you know, we, you know, society and entertainment think of miracles as these huge, unexplainable events. I like to think of miracles as God intervening in the affairs of men. And when I think about miracles like that, miracles happen every day. Mm-hmm. When God intervenes on your behalf and helps you out, that's a miracle.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's just God intervening in the affairs of men. It's divine intervention. And I'm telling you, that happens every day, multiple times a day, whether we realize it or not. So, we serve a God who is well acquainted with the miraculous.
Amen.
So if we're His people, we should have this mentality of, it can happen. It can happen. No matter what the thing is, it can happen. It's possible.
Yeah. Amen.
You know what I mean? That's got to be our mindset. It's possible. And then if we have that mindset, then we will put ourselves on that front line and allow ourselves to be used by God to reach other people.
Yeah.
There were some hungry folk on this mountainside. And the disciples wanted to send them away. Jesus said, no, you feed them. So then we have to realize when we see problems, there may be, this is not all the time, but you know, don't be so fast to pass by without stopping to see whether or not Jesus is wanting you to do something about it.
Yeah.
Don't be so fast to go back, oh man, that's in a bad way. Well, wait a minute. Make sure that Jesus might say, you do something about it. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, I think I told this before, you know, I knew I was somebody because, you know, my mom used to always call out from the kitchen, I need somebody to go to the store. And my brother and the sister would always, like, pretend they were sleeping. You know what I mean? We'd be watching television in the living room, you know, and all of a sudden they, you know, and then sometimes you act like you're sleeping, you do the fake snoring thing. You know, so they would do the fake snoring thing, or they just act like they didn't hear. And, like, you know, that was my mom. I had a soft spot for my mom, still do, you know what I mean? And so, if my mom asked if I need somebody to go to the store, you didn't have to say that twice. That's not how I felt. I don't even know what I came. I just felt that way. Like, look, that's your mom. You didn't have to ask twice. And she doesn't have to, like, you know, beg her kids to go to the store. So, I would always go to the store. And plus, I like going to the store. I like going to the store. It's funny. I used to like coming back and counting back the change. Just funny thing. Because this was back in the day when they had old registers. Not the kind that does the work for you. Where the cashier actually had to know how to count. And you had to know how to count. This is back in the day. Nowadays, people don't know how to count.
Oh,
so advanced, but yet we're so backwards. We've taken so many steps back as we progress. But so I used to like to come back and count back the change. I didn't just put the change in my mother's hand here. I counted it back. So I wanted, it was a way of me saying I'm responsible. And I was paying attention to what happened. It was $3.63, and then I count back to, you know, to get to the dollar, and then go 4, 5, 10. Here you go. I wanted to show it. I'm out there, when you send me in, I'm paying attention. But I realized I was somebody because of that, right? I need somebody to go to the store. I told my mom one day, I said, you might as well just stop. Say to somebody, because I'm the one who only goes. I'm the only one that goes. Yeah. But it's good to be somebody.
Amen.
You know? And yet as we grow older, that looking for somebody to do something seems to crop back up. Mm-hmm. We'll be outside. Stop signs are down. Street light is out. Somebody needs a call back to fix this. Somebody. Somebody! You know what I mean? Your neighbor's lawn is over there. Somebody needs to come out and cut that lawn. Somebody needs to do it. And see, here's the thing. Just as my mom was calling from the kitchen that she needed somebody to go to the store, she just wanted somebody to be willing to say, I'll go.
Yeah.
And I believe God is calling down from heaven saying, I need somebody to go help that orphan child over there. I need somebody to go help the homeless family over there. I need somebody. And God's calling out for somebody every day of the week.
Amen.
And some of us, like my siblings, we're acting like we're sleeping. We're acting like we don't hear. Acting like we don't hear that. But God's looking for somebody who's not going to pretend not to hear His voice saying, I need somebody to help these people out. And as we adapt this attitude of, I am somebody. So when God needs a somebody, that includes me. Now, He may not always send you, but at least you know you're part of the number. And you don't look around when He says, I need somebody. No, you're front and center, you know, somebody who's willing to be used by God to help somebody.
Amen.
Amen. And it's not about what we don't have. It's not about what we can't do. You know, it's not even about what you don't know. You know, because there are times where you just go into a situation and your presence makes a difference.
Yeah.
And sometimes where you go there where you can be a calming influence on somebody else. Sometimes you can go into a place and maybe the two of you separately couldn't come up with a good idea, but somehow through the exchanging of ideas and suggestions, you come up with something.
Amen.
That makes a difference. Just be willing to be a somebody that can help. In this situation, Jesus was looking for somebody who was going to look beyond the apparent limitations of the situation and say, we can do something.
Amen.
That's all He was looking for. Because He knew what He was going to do. He wasn't asking them to do anything but to simply be in agreement with Him. That I can and will do something about this. So when we face those seemingly impossible situations, apparently something that's too big to be handled, understand that God is over there looking and testing and wondering, who's going to come alongside me and believe that I can turn this situation around? Because we have to start with this. Remember, we saw it. Jesus wanted to feed them all. God wants to do something about the problems in the earth. He wants to do something about the problems in the earth. I had more money, I would do. No, take the money you have and believe for God to multiply. Take the time you have. Take the talent you have. And believe that God will multiply it on behalf of somebody else who He wants to help. And He just wants to know, does He have somebody who will come alongside and get with the program? So that's what we're seeing here, amen. This is what part of being blessed through ministry is about. It's about having that willingness to get involved, but also when you get to the point where you stop looking, we stop looking at our insufficiencies and look at God and say, it is possible. Right?
Amen.
And God's a miraculous God, and He can do some miraculous things.
Amen.
Right? We're going to continue next week because we know what's, you know, we've read the story, so we know what happens next. Right? We know what happens next. But as we sort of take our time and go through this, we start to see something. We see that God is really focused on ministry of His people helping other people. We saw that ministry that brings a blessing is not convenient. It's going to come up at, the problems. Problems don't make appointments. They just don't. they come when they come. We saw last week that we need to have a heart of compassion, because that's what compels us into action. And now God is saying to us, we have to look to Him to do the things that we can't do. And it's not get focused on the fact of, well, we have limitations. Yes, we do. But we serve a limitless God.
Amen.
And so we got to stop looking at our limitations, no matter what they may be, and focus on the fact that God is a limitless God. And let's look to Him, and then we can see miraculous things being done. And if these disciples would have done that, right? Jesus still did the miracle, but man, did they fail the test. Right? That's another thing that we just will ask you to consider, that there are many times, how many times in our life has God moved and done miraculous, but it wasn't because you were believing. They failed the test. And God, we know He still did. Amen.
Amen.
Alright, but anyway, but listen, we're gonna trust God, amen. We're gonna trust God. You know, and I know we already do trust God.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I was talking, my wife, we had lunch yesterday, and she came to lunch talking about, she gave money to this one, she gave money to that one today, and I told her, I said, well, I gave money to this one, it was funny, same day, right, and we ain't talking a little bit of money. And then we just said to each other, we said, well, I guess today we just both get money. And see, people will hear that and think, well, because you got it like that. No. It's not because we got it like that, it's because we give like that.
Amen.
See, they missed the first step.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Right? It's not because I got it like that, it's because I give like that. And because I give like that, I got it like that. Because God said, if you're willing to do it, mm-hmm. I'm going to make sure you have the provision with
Amen.
Which to get it done.
Yes, He does.
Man, if we could just all the body of Christ get a hold of this thing. I mean, we would have more resources at our disposal, but we're out there so busy trying to work for a living. I got to do that overtime. I got to make that cash. And the society just gets us sucked up in it. You know what I mean? You could be at work right now that's doing some things to bring in some more business.
Mm-hmm.
I could be at work doing some more. I could, yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's not my source.
Amen.
God, we're going to get this thing. And your children are going to get it all over the body. Right? They're going to get this thing.
Amen.
The amazing thing to me is even in the presence of Jesus, they look to their own selves.
Yep.
This
is even a flesh.
Yeah. He's right there.
Right. Didn't even look to him. Didn't look to him. Didn't think anything. I mean, this is Jesus who turned water into wine. Never crossed the line. Jesus raising people from the dead, giving the blind back their sight.
All they said was, set them home.
Beat them. What are we going to do then?
Lord, help us.
Amen.
Lord, help us. But we're encouraged tonight because as we see the disciples, I mean, one of the things we have to understand, we see ourselves too, because sometimes we do these things ourselves. But God is teaching us a better way.
Amen.
And to trust in Him and to know that if we do, He can do miraculous things. Because He does miraculous things every day. And, you know, when we trust Him, it's an amazing thing how you look up. You know, you get to a very busy stretch, a very trying stretch, a very, you know, difficult stretch. And then you look up and you say, made it through.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Got it done. But, you know, when you're looking in the front of it, you go, how in the world am I going to get through these next 2 weeks? I've got so many things to do. And then somehow, God reminds you because you trust in Him. You just look to Him. What they didn't do, you look to Him. Lord, I need your help today. Next day, I need your help today, Lord. What should we do now, Lord? And then it's just little things. And then you look up and you go, this thing worked out. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. God's a miracle. He's a miraculous God. Let's pray tonight. Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks that you are a miracle-working God. You are a God who overcomes all the limitations of man, of nature. Father, we just bless you, God, because there truly is nothing that you can't do. Father, we heard your voice tonight that you are looking for somebody, that you are looking for people who are willing to go in the power of God and be a blessing unto others. Father, you need us. You need our hands, our feet, our eyes. You need us to be willing vessels. Father God, you proclaimed to Isaiah, who shall we send and who shall go for us? And Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Father God, let us have the same testimony. Here am I, send me, send us, that we can go forward in the power of God and be a blessing. Father God, help us not to focus and to stop at our limitations, whether real or imagined. But Father, let us know that despite whatever we cannot do, when we come to the end of ourselves, that's when the power of God kicks in. And so Father God, we just thank you right now, God, that we won't stop when we get to the end of ourselves. But we will step out of the boat, step out in faith, and believe that now God has moved forward and is going to do great things in that situation. So, Father, we bless you right now. And, Father, we truly do want to be a help and a blessing unto other people. We can't do it by ourselves. We need you. We need your power. We need your provision. Father, we're willing to go forward that others may be blessed.
Yeah.
And, Father, we just thank you for the supreme privilege to be used by you to do good works in the earth in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you all praise. God, we're preparing to leave now. And we ask you, God, as we do, light our pathway home. Just give us safe passage. Let your hand of protection be strong upon us. Continue to smile down upon us and our households on tonight. Bless those who could not be here with us on this evening, O God. And Father, we bless you and we thank you because you truly are altogether lovely. You are our God. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This has been a teaching of the On Good Ground Christian Fellowship, where Minister Jeff Fennell is pastor. We pray that you have been encouraged by the word. Feel free to share this CD with someone, as faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For more information on our ministry, visit the web at www.ongoodground.org. May the Lord God bless you real good as you continue your walk with Him.